It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big One Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's not easy to watch these games. We are as frustrated and as disappointed as you are, Tom, and as our fans are. We expected to compete, and we're not playing great baseball right now.
It's the owner of the team. Owner of the team saying it's not easy to watch the games. He doesn't know the half of it. You kidding me? Not easy to watch. Impossible to watch. Impossible. But nonetheless, the Red Sox go on, and so do we here on the Baseball Reporters. 617-779-0985. We're going to start with Tom Werner, who did a weekly interview with Nesson on Friday night, talking about the state of the Red Sox, and there was one thing in particular that really caught my attention from it that I think every Red Sox fan should be interested in. And it speaks to the long-term prognosis for the Boston Red Sox. I think it was really an interesting comment from Werner, which we'll get to here in 1 minute. But we'll open up the phone lines right away. And for those of you who clicked over expecting to hear Celtics pregame, let me just tell you that it's a busy time of year. Not usually, but given the pandemic, given COVID-19, it is a busy time of year, as it's the equivalent of our spring. And we have the Celtics in the playoffs, the Bruins in the playoffs, obviously the Patriots in their midst of training camp. So there's a lot going on here in the Boston sports landscape. And as a result, as your home for Bruins hockey and Celtics basketball, we have a conflict tonight. Consequently, the Celtics will be on our sister station, WROR 105.7. Pregame is taking place there right now, and the game will start at 6:30. So if you're looking for the Celtics, 105.7 will have the Celtics game tonight in its entirety, pregame ongoing right now. And the game tips off at 6:30, Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers game one. The Bruins will air on our station at 8 o'clock and get pregame here at 7:30 with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. So just so everyone is aware of that, again, Celtics on WROR tonight. Pregame just began. It'll take up to 6:30. Bruins at 8 o'clock. Pregame at 7:30 right here on 98.5. That comment by Werner, team is hard to watch, is where I want to begin with this Red Sox team. And before I get to some of Werner's comments, let me just tell you quickly, since we last left you, where the Red Sox rank in the major leagues. Major leagues, not the American League. The major leagues in winning percentage, 29th. ERA, 30th, dead last. Home runs allowed. They've allowed the third most. That is 28th in the league in home runs allowed. Walks, fourth most. That is 27th in the major leagues. Whip, base runners allowed per innings pitch, basically. Walks and hits, as you know. Dead last. And batting average against, 29th. Okay, 30th in the league. I mean, 30 teams in the league that's second to last. This is the most wretched pitching staff I think I've ever seen in Red Sox history. I don't think it's even remotely close. And when you look at the composition of this team, it's easy to blame Dave Dombrowski for leaving the Red Sox in the dilemma they're in. As someone texted me late last week, blame Dombrowski for the carcass that is the Boston Red Sox. Okay, particularly on the pitching side of it, and we all know the dilemma there on the pitching side. So here is, we just played a short cut for you from Werner from that weekly interview he does with Tom Caron on Nesson. And I want to play the whole cut for you and then get to a comment that I thought was especially noteworthy. So, Jimmy, if we could start, please, with Werner 1 in its entirety. And this is Werner on the overall and general disappointment that the Red Sox have been thus far.
Well, it's not easy to watch these games. You know, we are as frustrated and as disappointed as you are, Tom, and as our fans are. We expected to compete, and we're not playing great baseball right now. You know, I don't want to make any excuses. We all know, of course, that didn't help that between Chris Sale and Rodriguez. That
can we stop here for a second? Thank you, Jimmy. So he says, I don't want to make any excuses, but I'm going to do it anyway. Chris Sale, Eduardo Rodriguez, those guys are out. And look, in fairness to the Red Sox, I'll give them Rodriguez. I won't give them Sale. Sale wasn't going to pitch this year. Everybody knew it, and even if he did pitch, he wasn't going to be the same guy. Okay, so I'm not giving him Sale. I'll give him Rodriguez because of COVID. And Rodriguez would help. There's no two ways about it. I think with Rodriguez that they still should have made the playoffs. I don't think the lineup would be this bad if they had a starting pitcher out there that they believed in every 5 days, or certainly more than one. Let's continue, Jimmy.
Didn't help that between Chris Sale and Rodriguez that, you know, we were without our two top pitchers. But that's not an excuse. We need to play better. If you're giving up 8 runs a game, you're not going to be competitive. And we were hoping that some of the pitchers that we signed would perform a little bit better. I don't want to give up on them. You know, this is a short window. But nobody's very pleased, including the players. And I guess if I had to say, you know, are there some silver linings, I don't think the team is quitting. I think they're approaching each at bat and each inning very much in focus, but it hasn't been good enough.
Okay, so that last part, I don't think the team has been quitting. Jim Murray, do you agree with that?
No, not at all. Not when you look at guys like J.D. Martinez, Rafael Devers, how Xander Bogaerts looked early, and granted, he turned it around a bit. But no, is certain guys on this team quit? Absolutely.
Jimmy Stewart, do you think it's fair to say the Red Sox haven't been quitting?
I mean, did J.D. Martinez want to pinch hit in Yankee Stadium? Do we still know why he didn't want to pinch hit? Did Mitch Moreland want to pinch hit last weekend? Do we know anything with that? This team's quit.
Like, okay, and that was in the first.
Given up.
And that was in the first week of the season. The J.D. Martinez thing. At least with Moreland, we know he has a history of knee problems. And Renicki said point blank, I'm staying away from Moreland in that game.
Are we sure that's the truth, Tony?
Okay, so that's fair. I'm harder on J.D. Martinez than I am on Moreland, Jimmy. So that's a fair point. Maybe Moreland didn't want to hit either. Maybe
doesn't Renicki strike you as the guy who defends the players at all costs? Which, by the way, I admire. I respect that.
Yes, he does. Yes, and we'll get to Renicki in a moment as well. So, but how about this for J.D. Martinez? And again, we'll get to more on him later. Werner says the players haven't quit. J.D. Martinez
he's not watching Maz. To be fair,
in his final two at bats, Saturday night, or maybe it was Friday night. It was the Gerrit Cole game. What was that? Friday night. It was Friday night.
Friday night.
Okay, his final two at bats, Friday night. J.D. Martinez saw 6 pitches, all strikes, and swung at one of them.
Well, I mean, it's tough with Gerrit Cole on the mound, Tony.
He took 5 of the 6 pitches for strikes, and he went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. So I'm supposed to believe that Gerrit Cole is trying, because I don't. But I'll tell you what. Like, we look at it and we say, okay, fine, the Red Sox suck. They suck. They'll get a high draft pick, hopefully, if the commissioner doesn't intervene and change the draft order. But they'll get a high draft pick out of it. If you're going to suck, you might as well suck in a 60-game season in the midst of a pandemic. People will forget it. And if you come out next year and you're better for it, then everything can be okay again. Which, again, is a stretch. But let's just assume that. Let's say that. That if the Red Sox come out next year and they're championship caliber again, would it be worth it? And I would say no. But you could argue that it would be worth taking the bullet over 60 games versus 162. Fine. Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think they're going to be good next year, Murray?
No.
Jimmy Stu, do you think they're going to be good next year?
My intuition says no, but they could go out and spend a ton of money and be right back in it and get Alex Cora back.
Okay, which is the last thing I want them to do. Because the money part of it.
You're looking for sustainability. You don't want these one-offs anymore, right?
Yeah, the money part of it, I don't want them to spend the money. Cora, I would like back. And I think Cora would make a difference. But the money to fix the roster? Oh, that's just going to create more problems. I don't want that at all. Tom Werner was asked about the long-term viability by Tom Caron. I thought this was an interesting answer, okay? And it really was about the rebuild that is now facing the Red Sox, given the plight of this pitching staff. And again, this pitching staff blows. It blows. So to have the talent that they have, or lack of talent that they have, is obvious. More important is the fact that they don't really have anyone coming through the farm system. So listen to this exchange between Tom Caron and Tom Werner and tell me what strikes you about it. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You know, when you look at this, obviously there is some rebuilding that needs to be done. You change the general manager in part to do that, right? You're looking to create something that can be a sustainable success. But when you look at that right now, from where you are right now, in your mind, how long a project is that? Can you get that done sooner rather than later to make it competitive?
Well, I hope so. I mean, we expect to field a competitive team each year. And we expected to have a good offense, a relentless offense, and even our offense has not clicked the way we would hope. But, you know, we obviously don't have enough pieces right now to compete.
Okay, so again, it wasn't about this year. The question wasn't about this year. We haven't been hitting. We obviously don't have enough pieces right now to compete. He says that, I hope we can be competitive. And the question was, from Tom Caron, how long is the rebuild? Are you confident that you can do this quickly? Can we play the beginning of it again, Jimmy? Just the very, very beginning. Listen to the question from Tom Caron, and then listen to whether Werner actually answers it.
You know, when you look at this, obviously there is some rebuilding that needs to be done. You change the general manager in part to do that, right? You're looking to create something that can be a sustainable success. But when you look at that right now, from where you are right now, in your mind, how long a project is that? Can you get that done sooner rather than later to make it competitive?
Well, I hope so. I mean, we expect to field a competitive team each year. And we expected to have a good offense.
Stop. He doesn't really answer it. He doesn't really answer it. I hope so. And you know what that tells you? It's going to be a while. They know it's going to be a while. So this is what I would tell you if you're a Red Sox fan. How long are you going to stick around? How long are you going to stick around? Because the farm system sucks. Chris Sale's going to come back and what, all of a sudden turn into Sandy Koufax again? It typically, after Tommy John, takes until the second year for you to fully regain form. Sale's only going to be 1 year out. What, Eduardo Rodriguez, he's a lock? How do you know? All these guys, a lot of these guys have been 500 pitchers. Murray looked up earlier today. The Red Sox were 81-81 over their last 162 games from last year to this year. 81-81.
It's been sustainable suck.
So is that competitive? Does that fall under the umbrella of quote-unquote competitive? Because I would say the goal is not to be competitive every year. The goal is to be competitive for a championship every year. There's a big difference. You're not just looking to go 81-81. 81-81 is competitive. Is that what we're looking for here with the highest payroll in baseball, or one of the top three or five, whatever it is? Competitive? It's not competitive. It's competitive for a championship every year. That's the goal. Some other things that Werner said, I do see a couple calls online. We do have a couple lines open if you want to jump in, 617-779-0985. And a play from the weekend that might be the perfect illustration of what the Red Sox have been this year. If you didn't see this, we'll tell you what that was when we come back.
This is a big
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser.
Red Sox are approaching almost 120 pitches in this game.
In the fifth, uses 3-2 to Talkman.
Oh, my goodness.
There was nobody there at first base, so that's a balk.
Yeah, 3-2. The first baseman, Moreland, goes behind the runner. You're supposed to know that.
Usually the first baseman will notify the pitcher, I'm going to be behind him. And that's a walk because there is nobody there to throw to.
You know he's going because it's 3-2.
Yeah. So now you got a man in scoring position.
Flares that one on the run. Verdugo, and that's going to drop down for a hit. And that will bring in that run.
You know, these are the kind of things, though, that have been killing the Red Sox in a lot of different ways. You know the first baseman's not going to be there. What are you doing? You know, and you put a man in a scoring position, and that little bloop scores the run.
I don't know if there's been a more painful run the Red Sox have allowed this season than that one right there.
I'm a loser. I got lots of money near to me. I'm a loser.
How about that play? Again, talk about something that is indicative or illustrative of the Red Sox issues this year. Tell you what, we'll get to Mike in Boston first, and then we will explain in detail to you what happened on that play. Unbelievable. Really, unbelievable. Mike in Boston, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good.
So my frustration with ownership kind of stems from, I guess, the lack of philosophy they've had in the past 10 years. You know, you look back to, you know, chicken and beer with Francona. Certainly, I think that had kind of run its due course. They bring in Valentine. It blows up. Next year, they bring in a lot of these, you know, kind of feel-good players, Salt Lamacchia, Victorino. They win the World Series. Then we're down for a couple of years. Then they bring in Dombrowski, and it's all the cards on the table. We're going to go spend money. We're going to go get Sale. We're going to blow up the system. And yes, it works, but now we're back to square one again. And I don't understand where ownership's kind of, you know, philosophy is and what they're trying to do when every 2 or 3 years they just change everything that they stood for the past couple of years. What are your thoughts?
So, Mike, you know why you don't understand the philosophy? Because there isn't one. Because there isn't one. And I'm sorry, you know, I'm going to let you go, but thank you for calling. Because there isn't one. This is the problem, and I'll tell you what, this sort of just popped into my head. Winning that World Series in 2013 might have been the worst thing that ever happened to them. It might have been. Because if you think about it, they were in the same predicament they were in now. Same predicament. After 2011, when that thing fell apart, they had a complete, you know, mutiny is the wrong word, exodus. Francona, Theo, the whole thing got wiped out. Bobby V came in, and they were a disaster in 2012, just like they're a disaster now. Now, it isn't apples to apples totally, but not that far off. 2012 was a disaster. That was a mess from the beginning. Remember that? Schilling called it the SS Titanic, and he was right. And so what happened? They went out during that offseason. They spent on hardworking, likable players with a goal of being, here's that word again, competitive. Competitive while they waited for their system to develop. I think there were great parallels, the more that I think about it, to be drawn to that time. So what did they do? They went out and they signed those guys. And you know what happened? And they brought in a new manager, too, by the way. They won. They won. They won the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, here we go. Wow, see, you do the right thing and good things can happen. They kept the team together, and you know what happened the next year? They finished last. You know what happened the year after that? They finished last. So now that I think of it, Jimmy, did they finish last three times in 4 years? 2012, 2014, and 2015?
Sounds right.
Holy crap. Like, is that what this is going to be?
But thank goodness for 2013.
So really, is that what this is going to be, though? Is this going to be one of those things where they're going to suck for 3 years? Because I don't want to suck for 3 years. 3 years is too long a period of time to suck. It's hard enough to do in 1 year. So when the caller says, again, what's the philosophy? There is none. Maybe now they're trying to get back to that. And they were trying to get back to it with Cherington. So remember, again, a first-time young GM, Ben Cherington, won a World Series in his second year. Then two last-place finishes, and they showed him the door. And they brought in Dombrowski. So it was their impatience to go through the process that really led to Dombrowski and then ultimately the dilemma they're in now. So now, look, I think Cherington had some drawbacks as a general manager, and he's now with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I feel compelled to say this because I covered him and knew him at the time, and he's a terrific guy. But he was a little too conservative. And so the Red Sox moved on from Cherington. Is Chaim Bloom going to be the same thing? Is he going to be too conservative? I want to get to this play from Saturday night quickly, but Matt is in a car in the 2013 Red Sox. Matt, go.
Hey, Maz. I think that one of the biggest differences was Big Poppy in 2013. Because, like, it was an anomaly that they won, but he had such a leadership that they just don't have now. J.D. Martinez is not giving you the same thing, and we were kind of hoping for that, and he's not doing it.
Okay, so, look, there were lots of differences between that team and this team. That was a more...
So, 2014, they had Ortiz. Where was the leadership then?
Well, right, and again, in 2015, they had him, too. Same thing happened. They finished last that year, too. So, it wasn't totally about Ortiz. They got lucky in 2013. Don't kid yourselves. And look, it was a great story, certainly, with the marathon bombing and everything else. The Red Sox really became a central figure in the whole thing. People rallied around them, and that was good. But they were lucky. They got lucky. From a talent standpoint, that team got lucky. This play on Saturday night that I keep wanting to go back to. Man on first in the fifth inning. Ryan Brazier is on the mound. Man on first, two outs. Two outs in a 2-1 game with a man on first. Brazier throws over there a couple of times because he fears that there's a threat to steal, to get into scoring position with two outs. In the process, the count ends up running full. So now you get to 3-2 with a man on first and two outs. Let me say that again just so everyone knows. 3-2, two outs, man on first. When there are two outs, and you have men in on first or first and second, positions where you are forced to run. 3-2 with two outs, the pitcher starts his delivery. What do the runners do? They go. There has to be an outcome. There's got to be a ball put in play or a final out, and so everybody's on the move. So right before the 3-2 pitch, Mitch Moreland says to Brazier, hey, I'm backing off the bag now. I'm going to play deep to take away hits down the line or any ball in play, give myself a better chance to field it. Let's not extend the inning. Let's get the out. 3-2. Brazier gets on the mound and then turns to pick off at first, except Moreland's not there, holds the ball and is called for a balk. He then, on the next pitch, allows a bloop single to left field. The run scores. Now you're down 3-1. All because you couldn't remember on a 3-2 pitch that the first baseman wasn't going to be covering anymore. I mean, baseball 101. And you're going to love this answer. Peter Abraham of the Globe asked Ron Renicki about it after the game. Here's the exchange Peter Abraham had with Renicki.
Ron, what happened on the that throw to first by Ryan there?
Mitch told him he was behind him, and Ryan forgot. So threw over to first.
You've had some of these mental mistakes now for the last few days. As a manager, I guess, what kind of steps do you take to try to eliminate those?
Well, it's obviously concerning. You don't like the mental mistakes. I mean, we can take getting beat, but we don't want to give it to teams. And, you know, every time we do, they capitalize on it. So it's been errors that we even make an error and all of a sudden they get a homer or we just do things that are giving teams opportunities to score runs. So, it's just, you try to focus more, but I don't think that's necessarily the issue is the focus. It's, I don't know. It's just things are not going well.
I mean, listen to this guy. Listen to him. And again, I'm not saying to mock him. I'm saying he's at a loss to explain anything.
Sounds defeated, Tony.
He does. Exactly, Jimmy. That's a better way to put it. And thank you for that. He sounds defeated. He's at a loss to explain anything. You know what he wants to say? Guys, our pitcher had his head up his ass. And he couldn't remember that on a 3-2 pitch, we don't cover. Because we almost never cover on a 3-2 pitch. Why would we? The runner's going no matter what. So, you know, maybe late in the game, in a situation where he's the winning run, we want to hold him on just to prevent him from getting a jump on a ball that could be in play. But otherwise, we never do that. But our guys are stupid. You know why they're stupid? Because we suck and they've quit. That's what he wants to say. Ron Renicki, but he can't. Speaking of people who have quit, I want to get back to J.D. Martinez. I'm going to empty all this stuff out from the weekend. And then we'll get into more issues here as the week goes on.
Did he answer the question as to why he didn't pinch hit Mass?
Who, JD?
Yeah.
Well, that's another one, Jimmy. We got a lot of ground to cover.
Did a media avail?
Yeah, he did.
Had to have been asked, right?
He did a media avail. He did.
Huh.
So it lasted all of like 3 minutes.
3:15.
It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
On a short season, it's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
JD's career at Yankee Stadium, he's liked it. Tonight's been a bit of a different story, though. 0-for-2, 2 Ks.
Boy, he's made some pitches on him. Then he flips him a little changeup. You don't see very often to right-handed hitters.
Base is empty.
Oh, that is a perfect breaking ball. I mean, absolutely perfect, Jerry. You can't do anything with this. Now you don't know what he's going to throw. He's got 97. What are you going to do? See ya.
Boy, missed that by a lot. He's had a tough night. Strikes out for the third time.
J.D. Martinez, 0-for-4, 4 strikeouts against Gerrit Cole. Cole's nasty. Okay, he's nasty. But the best hitters are supposed to put up a fight against the best pitchers. J.D. Martinez, 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts in his final 2 at-bats. Friday night, he struck out on 6 pitches, 5 looking. Didn't even swing the bat. Once. One swing in his final 2 at-bats. And if you see some of the highlights of it, look, it's pathetic. I mean, he just looks completely disinterested. Like, talk about giving up. Bad body language, as they say. Just quickly, it feels like a good time to for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Home Services. Certainly not J.D. Martinez. Kevin Pillar, .400 average in his last 5 games. 3 extra base hits, 4 RBI, 4 runs scored. So our thanks to our friends at Rodenheiser. He is Who's Hot in the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. J.D. Martinez. So finally, there was media availability with J.D. Martinez after Friday night's game. It was the first time he was made available to the media in, Jimmy, what was the date? Is it like a month or close to it, 3 weeks?
It was the night before he didn't pinch hit.
Okay, so the first trip into New York, it's 2 or 3 weeks since he spoke. Because, again, there's no media access. Everything is done in a controlled environment via Zoom. So J.D. Martinez was finally made available after refusing to pinch hit or being okay with not pinch hitting, however you want to categorize it. I'd like to know the answer, but we still don't have it. So J.D. Martinez did this Zoom call. Now, I'll tell you what, we're going to play the whole thing just because, A, it's short, relatively, and B, I want to be able to jump in at various points, and I also want to try to give you some indication as to how J.D. Martinez operates. So we're going to start it here. I don't remember who asked the first question, Jimmy Stewart. It might have been Ian Brown or, in any case, whatever. This is J.D. Martinez's Zoom call after having not been made available to Red Sox reporters for weeks. And this goes back to before he did not pinch hit at Yankee Stadium with two men on in the ninth inning. Okay, go ahead, Jimmy.
Yo, yo.
Hey, J.D., how much kind of just disbelief is there right now just over the way that this week has gone to have kind of six games in a row, kind of almost the same?
Yeah, it sucks. You know, it's definitely not fun. You know, it's not fun going out there and getting your head beat in every day.
Can we stop there? Okay, short, sweet, pretty simple answer. Okay, let's keep going.
J.D., I've seen you take a lot of what look like half swings, which is unusual for you. What's kind of going on right now with your swing and your approach?
I'm terrible.
Could you perhaps be a little more technical than that?
Yeah.
Okay, stop. Okay, could you perhaps be a little more technical than that? Now, listen to this answer, and you tell me whether you think the guy's being condescending or whether he's giving an honest answer. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You want to get more technical? My hips are sliding. I'm drifting uphill. Can't stay on my backside, so I loop the barrel. Have to make decisions further out in front. So there you go. There's the swings.
Okay, so you can stop again, Jimmy. So I didn't like the way he said that. Oh, you want to get more technical? All right, well, here's your answer. Here's your answer, Mr. Baseball. Let me get more technical for you. You know, I'm not staying on my backside, which is causing me to loop the barrel. I got an issue with my, you know, I'm not keeping my hip closed. Like, he's got to go out of his way to just let you know that he's Mr. Hitting. Mr. Hitting, who doesn't have his tablet and can't function without it. He's so Mr. Hitting that he can't function without his tablet. Okay? So, again, I just didn't like the tone there. It was Pete Abraham of the Globe that asked the question. And maybe Martinez wasn't trying to be a wise ass, but boy, he sure sounded like one there, if you ask me. Keep going, Jimmy.
When you're kind of taking that half a swing, is that just being fooled by the pitch or what's kind of going on there?
It's like what I said. Like, you know, I mean, we're going to get technical. It's whenever your hips slide, you have to make decisions more on front. Whenever you got to make decisions more on front, you don't recognize pitches.
So that's what it's been recognizing, kind of what, you know, what guys are coming at you with?
Yeah, it's been my hips. You go to the source, the hips.
Okay, let's stop again. So again, now Pete Abe is stuck on the can't recognize the pitches thing, and JD's sort of saying to him, "No, it's my hips. I told you it's my hips. Go to the source. It's my hips." So again, I just feel like, okay, you know, sorry, you haven't been made available in 3 weeks. We're just trying to get to the source of your problems. Now, the media isn't covering glory in this whole thing either. But anyway, go ahead, Jimmy. Let's keep going.
Well, what about your brain, too? Is that...
No, the brain will pick up where it's, you know, it does what it's supposed to do. You know, when everything lines up, then you see the ball and you hit it.
Yeah, it's a bit tougher because, you know, did you feel like earlier this week you were maybe starting to turn a corner a little bit? You hit a couple home runs or at least getting it a little more...
I mean, yeah, guys, I mean, I hit a couple home runs the other day, and then I went up against Gerrit Cole and Ottavino. You know, they're no slouches, I don't think. I mean,
okay, stop. So now here comes the excuse. Okay, here comes the excuse. Well, I hit a couple home runs the other day. Then I faced some tough pitching. So first you're telling me that your hips are sliding and you stink and that you can't stay on your back leg and you loop in the barrel. But now it's, well, I face some tough pitchers. So I just feel like no matter what they ask, he's saying the opposite. I used to hate interviewing guys like this because no matter what you say, they want to tell you how stupid you are.
That doesn't help that this guy's got the personality of a shoe.
Okay, that's what I think. I mean, I think it feels like any time they ask him a question, he answers the opposite because he wants to make it clear how stupid they are when it comes to hitting. So now it's, Ottavino, Gerrit Cole, those guys aren't slouches, I don't think. Oh, so condescending. So condescending. Keep going, Jimmy.
I mean, I hit a couple home runs the other day, and then I went up against Gerrit Cole and Ottavino. They're no slouches, I don't think. I mean, it's about, 400 mil between those two guys? So those guys are tough guys if you're facing them when they're, when you're locked in. So today I felt like I hit the ball well. Before yesterday, I hit the ball well. So, yeah.
JD, how much, not just on you, but on all of the guys in the lineup, they've given up 8 runs in 6 games in a row. I mean, how much pressure does that put on you guys that you're probably feeling when the game starts?
Jimmy, can we pause here real quick for a second? Listen to this answer closely. Okay, this is a hard question to answer if you're a hitter. Okay, and it's but even so, what are you going to do? Throw your pitching staff under the bus? Probably not, right? Well, I don't know. Let's see. Go ahead, Jimmy. Play it.
I mean, it's different. It's, obviously it's not fun, and it's hard to hit when your offense is always on the field, just tired. And, whenever you're out there for 45 minutes, 30, 45 minutes before you got to get in there and hit, it's not easy. It's tough, So it's one of those things where, I think we got to kind of refocus and go out there and just do the best we can do, really, and just go out there and, keep putting competitive at bats. I feel like our offense has been putting up runs,
It has? Wait, it has? They're 8th in the league. What the hell is he talking about? Putting up runs when? After you're down 8-1? How about getting a run? How about getting a lead early? Could you try that? And the other thing is, you're tired from standing in the field? That's the excuse? How tired were you when you didn't swing at 5 of the 6 pitches in your final 2 at-bats? How much energy? You must have been exhausted because you didn't get the bat off your shoulders. Look, the pitching on this team sucks. We all know it. I don't like the deflecting, and I don't like the condescending attitude. I hate it. Let's just say, I think we're near the end, Jimmy, aren't we? We're near the end. Go ahead.
It is what it is.
All done. That's it.
All set. Thanks, JD.
Yep.
All
thanks
right, guys.
Later. Yeah. Thanks, JD. Appreciate it. Yep. Thanks for the time. That was really productive. That was good. So here's my other point, and this is not JD's fault. JD Martinez would not pinch hit in a game in New York 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was not made available to the media after the game, and he hasn't been made available to the media since. Ron Renicki's had to answer for it a couple of times. JD Martinez then finally gets made available to the media, and nobody asks the question. Now, look, I hate to be like, college editor here, barking down and yelling at the Cub reporters and telling them they don't know what the hell they're doing. God knows I made my share of mistakes when I did the job. But the question doesn't even get asked at all. No one asks him what happened with the pinch hitting thing. This goes back a couple of weeks. Sorry to bring it up now, but we haven't had access. What happened? Nobody asked it. Nobody of JD Martinez. Not one person asked about why he wouldn't pinch hit in New York earlier in the year when they might have actually still had a season at stake. Or have we all given up? Has the media given up? Has everyone given up? Is that all it is? Which is fine. If that's what it is, tell me. I just want to know. Unbelievable to me. Really, unbelievable.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.